being on the lake or doing whatever in the day. But Lord, we would be mindful of what you're speaking to our hearts today so that we can challenge ourselves, God, to be the people that you've called us to be. For this short life that we have here is real short. And the most important thing is that we pass the test here so that we can go on to eternity with you. And so, God, as we share our lives with you today, Lord God, we pray that you would impart into us the things we need to know. So bless us today with your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Preparing our minds for action was last week. We looked at 1 Peter. We kicked it off just kind of going to a place of Peter. We've been studying things that Paul has been teaching us. We've been through the 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. We looked at Romans. And I'm going to recap a little bit on that as we go through some things. And I'm going to back up so Mikey don't get a kink in her neck. There you go. See how I think about you? No, I love you. Actually, Jim was moving over here, so he didn't sit over there for that reason. So, yeah, take his place. Hallelujah. Can we be holy? Can we? This is yes, this is no. Can we? Yeah, we can. Why? Because the Bible declares it. He says, you are holy because I am holy. Jesus said that. He said, you can do this, right? That's what preparing our minds for action is all about, that we be mindful of our daily routines of life and how we can't get caught up in the things of the world and the things of the flesh that draw us into satisfying ourself, our needs, our wants, me, I. Now, if you look at the world today, let me tell you, it's all about moi, right? If I get what I want, then it's going to make me happy. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that true? No, that's a lie. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Getting what you want is not going to make you happy, right? The Bible says he's going to give you what you need. Needs and wants are two different things. And boy, I'll tell you what, we don't need as much as we think we do. In fact, how many of you got toys like boats or four-wheelers or things, just toy things, right? Most of us do. Most of us have our stuff, right? Guns. If you like guns, now you can't get bullets, so you're cleaning your gun. But there's all kinds of things, these toys that we have. And now when you have those, then you have what? Responsibility to take care of them. And so that eats into your time. Their schedule. If you want to keep it clean and nice, you know. If not, then it just gets moss on it, and it sits outside, and you think to yourself, man, I should get out there and take care of that, right? So a lot of stuff is a time beater, time consumer, and God wants us to see what He has for us. So our needs, and so I mean, it's good to have stuff. Don't get me wrong. Having toys is not a bad thing, right? But if it takes your time away from God, I challenge you to relook at that thing, because God said He don't want us to have idols, right? He wants us to have Him. And if He's first, He'll give us what we need and give us the things that we need to be involved in. If not, we'll get caught up in those things that will take us away from God, not to Him. Just a challenge for you. This morning, preparing our minds for action, we went through I got a long ways. I got through 13 verses, maybe a little bit farther, but I'm going to back up today in part two of preparing our minds for actions in 1 Peter, and we're going to kick it off in 13. And we talked about being holy. Can we be holy? Preparing our minds for actions. For action, and there in that first verse in 13, if you look at your Bibles, it says this. In fact, Alan, oh, you already put it up. It's okay. So therefore, prepare your minds for action. Now, my question is, do you guys know that when you read Scripture, you'll go through Scripture and you'll find that God repeats Himself over and over and over and over again? And I can prove it. Last couple of months, we went through 1 and 2 Corinthians, and we were in 2 Corinthians, and we were in chapters 10, verse 5. Do you remember what that said? What was it that it was kind of a highlight of the message, if you remember? And I went back to it for a reason. Remember, I said, okay, we didn't get it the first time, and maybe I wasn't the only one that didn't get it. I said, I didn't get it the first time, so we backed up and went over it again. And a lot of you guys raised your hand and said, yeah, you're right, I didn't get it the first time either. So we went back and looked at it again. Remember what it was? Taking our thoughts captive, right? Understanding where our mind is, what we're thinking about, and how the enemy tries to take our thoughts and get them all twisted up on things, so much so that we get lost in them and we're caught up in the soul, the mind, will, and emotions, and all the things that are going on in this earth and the circumstances are making our behavior become reactive, and we're angry. And in our anger, we sin. The Bible says there's nothing wrong with being angry. But he says, be angry and do what? Sin not. Don't be sinning in your anger. Anger is an emotion, and it's a righteous emotion, and it's put into perspective, then you know how to pray. You know, what else did we talk about? We talked about the warfare, the battle that rages in the spirit realm. Right? We talked about that. And how does the Bible say we come against that? By prayer, by fasting, by praying through and seeing what God wants us to pray through. Remember the story of Daniel? He prayed and the heavenlies were in battle. Listen, the warfare of our mind is spiritual. It's not carnal. We don't battle against flesh and blood. Remember? But we battle against what? Principalities, powers, and high places. Right? That's the spiritual battle that goes on. Lots of people don't believe that happens. Right? Lots of people say, that's just not, that don't go on. I challenge you to rethink that and to start thinking through in the area of prayer, because if you pray against something, especially in our own behavior patterns, if we look and pray and be mindful and taking our thoughts captive, in fact, in Romans, it says, in Romans 12:2, it says renewing our minds. You can go back and look at that. In fact, if you do word studies, this is a great thing to look up. You know, look up the mind. I mean, and there is all kinds of things. I just read a book that was written, in fact, it's the second time I've read it. It was written by a prophet who is the only prophet that Open Bible actually recognizes. And he wrote this book called Duped. And it's interesting in this book how he opens the window of understanding of how these things happen in our soul realm and how we perceive things as we think they are. But in reality, this battle that's going on is just trying to mess with us, get us off track. How many of you know that happens to you? Happens to me, I know it. But the Bible says this, it says to take our thoughts captive, we need to be renewing our mind and then preparing our mind for action. So 13 says, therefore, prepare your mind for action, keep sober in spirit. I looked at that, I was thinking, what does that mean, sober in spirit? Well, you know what your spirit is, right? Your spirit is a connection with the Holy Spirit of the living God. It isn't a physical. It isn't your soul. It isn't mind, will, and emotion. That's the soul. You have a body, you have a spirit, and you have a soul. And in Galatians, if you look at that, Paul told us, he says, listen, walk in the what? In the spirit. So if you're thinking, if you're keeping your mind in control and thinking about what you're really battling, right? And if what the scripture is telling us in these passages of scriptures about our mind and our thinking and how we perceive things, right? Now all of us are gonna get off track a little bit, but the thing is we gotta bring it back in to the covering of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Because if you get out here and you're walking in your own thing, then you're not covered. So there's all kinds of arrows that are going to come your way by the enemy, and he's going to get you off track, which means you're going to be caught up in all kinds of other things but what God has for you. And so how do you know that what God is calling you to do is what you should be doing? Listen, none of you guys are here by chance. Not one of you are here today in church by just a happenstance. It's by you taking your mind, right, putting it to action, hearing the Lord and saying, God's calling me to go to church today and I'm going to be obedient, so I'm going, right? It's an action on your part to receive from the Lord. And so that's why I say everybody should give yourself a hand. You are here And it's not by chance that you're here. God's going to teach you something today, because we don't just come fill seats. Right? Why do you come to church? Just to come and fill a seat? No, you come because you want a relationship with Jesus and you want to hear what he has for you. That's an amen. Right? An amen means we agree. We agree with what the Holy Spirit's doing. So we partner with. And so Paul's teaching us, or Peter's teaching us today, the things that we need to partner with. And we partner with the Lord by coming and listening to what he has for us. And we're reading scripture together, going through it. That's why I try to go through scriptures and look at them together, and it challenges how to walk in the Spirit, how to do the things that God's called us to do. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but it means we're renewing our minds, we're taking our thoughts captive, and we're setting our minds for action. We're getting prepared for what God has for us through the week. That's why he said, don't forsake yourself to gather together and to be together and encourage one another, even more so as we see the day approaching. We should be more engaged with each other in this Christian walk that we have before us. And so, it says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus has revealed this. He's showing us. As obedient children. What does obedient mean? Huh? Yeah, obedient means you're going to do what so God's asked. It's obedience. It's saying, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make a commitment to follow through with it, and I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stay with it. Why? Because this is a battle. Right? This isn't going to be easy. It is if you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, right, in your daily routines of life. You get up and first thing you do is say, God, this is your day. I want to surrender to you. I want to mold myself into your day, because this is yours, not mine. And so what do you have for me today? As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former, what? Oh man, that's a nasty word, isn't it? Right? Don't be conformed to the lusts of your past life that would draw you away from God. So what are you lusting after? Come on, be honest with yourself. What is the head thing on your list? And listen, the world is full of lustful things. And a lot of people, so okay, lust, that is a physical, you know, action toward the opposite sex, or in this world, it's maybe to the same sex. But that's not all what lust is. You can lust after all kinds of things. All kinds of things. You know, toys, new cars, houses, idols. You know, just putting everything above God. And God says, just take that stuff. Listen, that was former. You don't live under that law anymore. So don't conform to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. You guys aren't stupid. Right? You know, you've been taught. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves. Also in, what's the next word? Look at your Bibles. What is it? All your what? Behavior. And here we go. Back to the behavior gig. How am I behaving today? How am I responding to the things that come at me today? How am I responding to who I live with? My wife, the one I love the most, my husband, my children. How am I responding to that? So go back, it says, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself. So he's asking that you be holy. Does that mean you can't be? No, he's just the opposite. You certainly can be. And how do you do that? By surrendering your whole life to the one who created you. And to be in fellowship and relationship with him, so that you can hear his voice and then you respond. You don't react to the things of the world, you respond to the Spirit of God. And so, in all your behavior, that means everything that you do, all the actions that you follow, in your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. Isn't that an interesting passage of Scripture? Remember I said your guys' life here between birth and death is very important. What you do with your life between now and the time you die matters. It's not like, okay, I'm saved, whatever, man. I'm just waiting to get to heaven. It's not how it works. God's kingdom, remember I told you before, when Jesus was with his disciples and his disciples asked him, you know, teach us to pray. We don't really know how to pray. And Jesus said simply this, pray our Father who art in heaven, right? Holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? Huh? That means that God's kingdom is here on earth through you. That's cool stuff. That means God's kingdom is right here, right now. So you're not waiting, people, listen, you're not waiting to get to God's kingdom. You are in God's kingdom right now, right here. So how you respond to the things of this world, you need to know you're just passing through. This is a short life. And so it says here, conduct yourself in fear. I don't know about you, but when God gets my attention, I'm a little afraid that, you know, I mean, listen, he can take you out. He can. He's a big God, and if you tick him off, he's going to show you he's a little upset with you, and I can prove that. Does God get mad at his people? Look back in the Old Testament. Look at Israel. He got so angry he was going to wipe out the whole nation. And if it wasn't for Moses, they'd all been dead. Right? He pleaded with him, saying, look, this, you know, we'll, don't do that because this isn't going to, it's not going to show in the future who you really are. And he talked him out of it. Now I'm thinking, how in the world do you talk God out of something? Right? You know why? Because he loves you and he wants a relationship with you. If you know God, you know that he cares about you. And that's why repentance, right, brings him back in right relationship with you. He never leaves you, but you leave him. And so repentance and relationship opens up that window of relationship with God, and he talks with you and he walks with you in your daily routines of life. And so he says, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay. It's almost like going to a motel. You're there overnight, but you're going to conduct yourself okay. Now, how do you conduct yourself? I'm kind of messy. I figure I pay for my motel room. They can clean up after me. Right? A lot of us think that way, don't you? You know how Joey says, thinks of it? Totally different. She used to just tick me off. We'd go to a motel. She'd clean everything up, put everything all nice and neat. She goes, listen, somebody's taking care of us after we leave, and we don't want them to work very hard. We're going to make their day better. Right? So when they come to our room, they're going, dude, nobody stayed here. I mean, that's a totally different view than I've seen it. I paid for it. Leave the covers on the floor. They're just going to take them off anyway. Right? I don't know. That's kind of how I see it. But how I conduct myself in my stay, now let's say you go to somebody's house, same thing. Right? You're invited into somebody's home. Right? And so when you stay at their place, do you conduct yourself in a way that's pleasing that you're there? Do you help them do the dishes? Do you help them cook? Do you clean up after yourself? Or do you just make a pigsty mess and leave and say, thanks, see you later? Because somebody's got to clean up after you. Or do you, are they glad to see you come next time? Or they're going, oh no, another, more company. Come on, be honest. How many of you feel that way? When the people that come to your house that help you out, and they do, when they, their stay at your home is a pleasing thing. You help them. In fact, you being there helps them even more when they're not there, right? You're going, man, come to my house. You're awesome. Oh, last time you cooked me dinner, right? Them are fun people to be around. But when they come and just kind of mooch off of you and you do everything, do all the work and clean up after them and all that stuff. So while you're staying there, you're a blessing. And so The Bible here says, conduct yourself in the fear during the time you're on your stay on earth. So what God's asking you to do is be mindful of His leadership and His presence in your life, and you're conducting yourself in a pleasing way unto Him. Right? You're being a diligent steward to what God's given you. You're paying attention to what the Word's telling you. You're obeying, right? You're being a disciplined, a disciple, disciplined one in your short stay here on earth. How many of you feel like you're doing pretty good with that? Right? Yeah. I feel pretty good about it. Right? Is your finances in order? Do you know that, listen, Scripture tells us more about finances than He talks about heaven or hell. Why? Because He knows we need to conduct our stay here in a way that would be pleasing unto Him, which so that you have what He's given you, you're a good steward of it. So you, why does He give you extra? Have you ever read the Bible about that little piece of passage of Scripture? Why do you have more than you need? God's given it to you for one reason: to help somebody else. Right? Don't store it up for later, because guess what? Later isn't going to matter. Right? It isn't going to matter. He says, I give you extra so you can help somebody who doesn't have enough. Right? And so we learn these principles. If it's all about me and mine, right? And you get to die with all of your stuff, what good is that going to do you then? And then the Bible says the people that get that will probably just ponder it off because they didn't work for it anyway. Now, I've seen it happen over and over and over. So, man, I'm not going very fast, am I? Got to keep watch over things. Conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay, this short little time between birth and death that you're here on earth. Is this speaking to anybody? I know when I was reading this, I was looking at that saying, God, your principles are amazing. Right? They're always saying, they're always repeating themselves. If you look through Scripture, it's like, it's kind of repetitive, but it's in a different way. Over and over and over again. In fact, some of you guys might be listening to my message thinking, you know, he always repeats himself about stuff. It's not me. We're going through the Bible together. Right? It's not me. I'm telling you. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of the Lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For He was foreknown before the foundations of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your what? Okay, what's your soul? Mind, will, and emotions. Remember, take it back to what we're talking about. We're preparing our minds for action. So it's not in the spirit we're looking at this. We're looking at the physical soul realm. The mind, your thinking, your will and choosing, and your emotions and how you feel about stuff. And in that, let me tell you, a whole lot of people get sidetracked and captured by the lust of the world, by the things of the world. You guys get it? Starting to make sense? That in your soul, in your mind, will, and emotions, we're taking our thoughts captive. We're receiving from the Holy Spirit the truth of what His Word tells us and what He's speaking to us. Then, the next part's the hard part: being obedient. When the Lord says for you to shh, do you just button it up? Or do you want to go ahead and say your piece? Because, you know what? I want to be heard. And hey, if you don't listen to me, I'm not going to listen to you. If I don't have it my way, I'm not doing nothing for you. Or, you know, that was mean. I'm tired of that. I'm out of here. I mean, you can have all kinds of reactions in the soul because it's mind, will, and emotions. It's how you feel. It's what you're thinking. And then just your choices. And so think of your day, in your day. Do you always consider God teaching you in the behavior pattern that you're walking in? Because he said, what? All of your, what? All of your behavior. So if it's in your behavior and if it's in your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, then what's God asking? He's saying, take your thoughts captive and see what God's doing in the midst of it first. Then when you hear him, make your decision. But until he speaks and until he acknowledges the truth to you, you need to pay attention to what's going on around you and not be so quick to jump on your bandwagon. Because God may have something for you to learn. Now that would be amazing. And I'm in the same boat with you, right? Sometimes I gotta get hit before I get it. You know, I'm thick-skulled. Are you guys kind of hard-headed with some things? Why? Because, you know, I matter to me. And because I matter, I want to be heard, and I want it my way. And if I don't like it, then I'm going to squeak about it. God's teaching me to be humble, right? Receive what he has for, even in somebody, you know what? The scripture, if you look, I know you guys have read this, when Balaam, you know, and the donkey, and God spoke through that donkey. If he can use a donkey, he can pretty much use any one of you guys to speak to me. I'm pretty sure about that. I get my attention, yes. But sometimes, I tell you what, you guys speaking to me gets my attention too. Right? And me speaking to you, hopefully, in this word today is getting your attention. It says this isn't just a random life we're living. No, God made you for a purpose. He created you and he has a plan in mind. Now, whether you fulfill that or not is totally up to you. You guys get it? You guys get that? You get a choice. That's why he made us with a will to choose. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for the sincere love of the brethren, for who? Those that are around you, God's people. Sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the what? The heart. You know why he says that? Because the hardest people to love is the brother. The ones that are in your world. The ones that are in your sphere. The ones you're working with every day. The ones you go to church with. Right? Because why? They rub your barnacles sometimes. And sometimes that's a little hard to rub your barnacles off. You kind of like them because it's hard to remove them. Anybody got ever seen them take the barnacles off a boat? They dry dock it. And they rub those things off of there. I mean, they grind her right down. Right? And that's what we do for one another. As iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. Right? One brother sharpens another because the one that loves you the most is going to tell you the hardest things. Right? They're going to tell you the stuff that's going to be hard to hear. So your brother, you got to listen to him. And quit being such a turkey and listen to what they're saying. Then take it to the Lord and say, am I like that, God? And he's going to go, yes. And then the hardest part, like I said before, is being obedient. If this is true, then what do I have to do? Change your behavior. All your behavior, the Bible says, not just some. Just a little bit, all of it. So, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. And grass withers, and the flowers fall off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. So what is Peter telling us? Put it in action. What's he saying all this for? I mean, we can read scripture, right? We can really read this stuff, and we bounce right over the deepest part of what he's trying to say. And what he's trying to tell us here is get your minds and use it in a way that would be glorifying unto the Lord, which renews you, which gets you to thinking about your behavior, gets you to thinking about your choices, gets you to thinking about what you do in your daily routines of life and how you're doing it, what you're doing with it. And his call is that you would be like Jesus, that you would give yourself enough of yourself so that people would understand the love that God has for each one of us as we give it to them. But if you're like the world, if you're so much like the world, you know that it, you're the one that's important here, and you're going to make well known that. Right? Doesn't matter what people think. I'm having it my way, and if you piss me off, I'm out of here. That's a bad word, sorry. You irritate me. Sorry, forgive me for that. That was with, quotes. We got to look to what God's speaking to us, right? Stop reacting to the circumstances. Because you're not going to learn anything. Trust me in that one. I've been there. You're not going to learn a thing if you always behave in reaction. But God wants us to respond to these things that go on. And listen, I'm learning these things. In fact, Joey and I are going through, in fact, this is something that I've made a commitment to, that I'm going to try to respond instead of react to the circumstances in my day. Right? When things start happening that are out of control and start coming at a high rate of speed, and I know that, man, I got to do things, and this is happening, and that's happening, I'm learning to, you know what the sad thing is? Is that, well, it's good, but the sad thing is I have to go through this stuff I preach. Yeah, so it's not just I've got it together and I'm teaching you guys how to do this. No, God's taking me through it and I'm learning what's going on so that I can teach you how to go through it. Now that stinks in one side of it, but it's great on the other. Right? Yeah, it gets better. Hopefully it gets better. Or I might as well quit now while I got a chance. But no, it's good. It's good that I go through these things so that you guys can glean from it. But listen, if you don't, my dad used to say this, that a smart man learns from his own mistakes, but a wise man learns from somebody else's. Now, wouldn't it be great if we could learn, I mean, seriously, learn this from Peter's teachings? Wouldn't it be good? I think it would be, and I think that because today you guys chose to come to church to put your minds in actions instead of being out there sunning yourself in this beautiful day, which you could be, you came here and you learned something that you can put into action that will change your life. Not only will it change your life, but it'll change those that are around you. And why? Because response gets more than reaction. Isn't that true? When you respond to circumstances and be thoughtful and mindful of how you're going to present whatever you're going to talk about, then you're going to get more out of that than reacting to it. Because people don't want to hear the reaction. They want to hear a response. And if you're responsive to those in your sphere, and you're speaking it through in love, like Jesus did, and giving yourself up so that they could have something from it, then you have won. You got it. You get it. You get the teaching. Right? Now, to do that is a whole other thing. Right? Isn't it? And all I can say is that when it comes your way and you react to something in your life this week, you can always come back to Sunday's message, and you can go, wait a minute, I reacted and I should have responded. Right? So now you have some meat to grab a hold of, some teaching, some understanding that Peter taught us. And so in all your behavior, it says in verse 15, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Amen? How are you guys doing with all that? It is. It isn't easy, but it can be done. It can be done. It's doable. Why? Because Jesus did it for you. Right? He did it. He did it for you so that you could get it. And here's how. You know, I don't just leave you with something you cannot do. The Bible never does that. He leaves us with something we can do, and it's very attainable. And here's how. It's by relationship every day with God. If you come closer to your relationship with Jesus, right, and listen to what he's speaking, take some time and hear that still small voice, your behavior will change little by little. It isn't going to happen. Sometimes it happens overnight. But most of the time, this is a faith walk. It's a journey. And we learn and we grow. And how we grow is we hold each other accountable. Right? When you say, okay, I'm going to do this, and you tell your wife, okay, my thing is, this is what I want to get better at. And so, can you please, and try to be nice to me, but tell me when I'm out of line. Is anybody willing to do that? Hey, that's hard. To allow your spouse, Glenn does it all the time to you, Mikey. He does it wonderfully, by the way. I tell him, he's my mentor in this area. He does great. So let somebody in on what you're doing. Let them in on it. And it may not be the best thing. I mean, the people that are closest to you are best at this because they know you. Right? They know when you're losing it. They can tell by just the way you're acting. You don't have to say nothing. Right? They know. So if you want to work on this, then be honest and say, okay, look, God spoke this to me, and he wants me to take my mind and grab a hold of this and work on it. And so I want you to help me with it. Could you do that? And of course they're going to say, absolutely. I would love to. Now, whatever way you guys do that or work that out, it's kind of up to you guys. But and here's the deal. I got to do a side note on this. You cannot argue about this against the rules. No arguing, no fighting. If it doesn't work, you know, right at the first, then just back away from it a little bit. Give it some breath, give it some air, and then come back to it, right? Because here's two kinds of people. There's runners, and then there's ones that want to work it out, right? Which one are you? I'm a runner. I don't want to talk about it when I'm angry. Leave me alone, right? So Joy's learned that. So she's, okay, have some space. But here's the challenge she tells me. She says, okay, we don't have to talk about it now, but when are we going to talk about it? Okay, we aren't just going to let this thing go. We got to take a time, come back to it, and talk about it. And I'll say, tomorrow or whenever. But right now, I'm not going to talk about it because I know myself. I'm a runner, right? But you guys know what I'm talking about? How many of you guys are here runners? How many of you guys want to talk about it? Okay, so there's two kinds of people. And usually God puts the opposites. There's one in every family. So there's the challenge, right? You guys, this is the word today. Do you guys like it when I challenge you? And some of you guys are going, I ain't coming to church because every time I come, Dave challenges me. I don't like to be challenged. But Peter's challenging us. The whole Bible is a challenge for us, right? To behave in a way that's right before God. Not because it's going to get you to heaven. It's not why. Because when you accept Christ, you're in. But because you can be Jesus with skin on. Right? That's why. He wants us to behave in a way that draws people to you and to him. Amen? Worship team, you guys going to come up? We're going to sing a song, and here's what I want you to do. If you want to accept this challenge, and if you know you have something in your life you want to work on, I want you to be bold. You know what? If you guys just sit in your chair and you don't do anything with this, you won't get nothing out of it. Right? Isn't that right? If you don't do anything with it, you're just going to go home and say, nice message, Pastor. Right? But today, you know, I'd like to bring it to the place where you and God can connect, right? So we're going to have the prayer team come up, and prayer team, if you guys want to answer this challenge too, then you can swap back over with each other. Worship team, if you feel like stopping worshiping and come down and say, I want to agree with this, you can do that. You're free to do that. So, prayer team, if you want to come up. And just come and say, I accept the challenge. Right? And say, look, I get this. What Pastor was talking about, what Peter's telling us today about girding our minds for action and me taking responsibility for that, I want to say yes to that. I want to do that. So just come up and agree with one of these guys. You don't have to take no more time than that. Just say, yeah, I'm with it. I put my feet to it. I'm going to do this thing. Then come do that. While we sing that song, just do that, and then we'll call it a day. Amen? Is everybody good?